U.S., NATO Recklessly Escalating Tensions with China Part 2. By Philip Giraldi. There have been two more interesting developments in the U.S. versus China saga in the past few weeks. The first came via a video link summit between U.S. President Joe Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping. Biden's declared mission was to address those issues that impeded a more manageable relationship between the two countries, or at least that is how it was described. The issues discussed by Biden and Xi included not taking any steps that would challenge the status quo regarding Taiwan as well as Chinese territorial claims in the South China Sea, which the U.S. asserts to have inhibited freedom of the seas for foreign vessels transiting the area. China has responded that it is only exercising its sovereignty and stresses that its international presence is largely derived from its perfectly legal commercial and business activity. Other issues under discussion included what to do about climate change and the evolving situation in Ukraine. The possibility of rolling back some tariffs imposed by former President Trump apparently was not discussed. More provocative by far than the Biden phone call, which at least was ostensibly intended to mend fences, is that Speaker of the House of Representatives Nancy Pelosi made a provocative August trip to Taiwan, which might have been inclusive of an escort of U.S. fighter aircraft. It was the first visit by an American official at that level since 1997, and it sought to confirm America's total commitment to the Taiwanese if China seeks to establish full control of the island. The visit was linked to comments by Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin that he would be reluctantly prepared to shift around military resources in the Far East to both enable and protect Pelosi's travels on a U.S. Air Force plane if the Chinese were to attempt to block her by declaring a no-fly zone over the island. Austin in fact ordered the commander of U.S. forces in the Indo-Pacific region to send the Ronald Reagan Carrier Strike Group into the South China Sea as a show of force. This could have been construed as a deliberate demonstration to the Chinese that they have no actual sovereignty over Taiwan. The ill-advised Pelosi visit itself was clearly a move intended to send certain signals to Beijing, and those signals are not only not friendly but even threatening. It also is primarily intended to appeal to the domestic audience in the U.S. with midterm elections coming up in November. It is always popular to take cheap shots at Russia, Iran, or China. China, however, has already warned that there will be consequences for the planned Pelosi visit. Interestingly, President Biden, supported privately by Austin, has actually opposed the speaker's trip as it could disrupt his intention to meet Xi face-to-face at some point in the future. Now that Pelosi, who lacks any formal foreign policy role, has made the trip, the Chinese leadership has confirmed their suspicions that the United States cannot be trusted to honor any agreement made by American leaders. The speaker clearly had not heard about nor understands the One China policy and the strategic ambiguity that governs the relationship between China and the U.S. over Taiwan to avoid any military escalation regarding that issue. Biden also muddied the waters by declaring three times that the U.S. might have to use force to defend Taiwan if it is attacked as Ukraine was, even though he and aides later insisted that he was not changing policy. The U.S., for its part, concedes the island is part of China, though Beijing has not yet sought to assert political control over it. Given the thinly veiled threatening moves by Austin, one should imagine what the American reaction would be if China were openly making plans to fly its fighter jets into U.S. airspace in order to forcibly land a senior Chinese official without an invitation from the State Department. As always, there are other possible developments, including reports that the U.S.-funded National Endowment for Democracy, NED, is active in currently unstable Myanmar, Burma, fomenting trouble to distract China in its own backyard. NED is notorious for its role in regime change operations that were once the responsibility of the CIA, including the 2014 Maidan revolt in Ukraine. China is surely aware of American involvement in regional meddling. Pushing from the other direction, North Korea is threatening to use nuclear weapons if it is attacked by the U.S. and South Korea, which will inevitably involve China. On balance, the United States has little to gain and much to lose by ratcheting up the pressure on China and its leadership. Nancy Pelosi should stay home, and the White House should be working hard to identify and pursue those opportunities for cooperation between the two countries. Framing China as an enemy of both the United States and of NATO is not the way to go, as it will literally force the Chinese to respond in kind. If one considers what is going on with Russia in terms of disruption of international trade, just imagine what would happen if the world's biggest economy in China were to begin its own round of sanctions and selective withholding of manufactured goods. And then there is the risk of igniting yet another needless war, one that also comes with nuclear weapons as a last resort if either side were to perceive that it was losing. It is just not worth it, is it? But then again, it never is. Philip Giraldi is a former CIA counterterrorism specialist and military intelligence officer and a columnist and television commentator. He is also the executive director of the Council for the National Interest. Other articles by Giraldi can be found on the website of the UNS Review.